Hello, everybody, and welcome to Geek Actually Tech, Episode 6 for the 17th of March, 2010. I am Dave McVeigh, and I don't come with an extended warranty.
No, you don't.
And I am joined in studio, as always on Wednesday nights, by Josh Philpott. How
Yo,
are you?
I'm doing good.
That's good.
I'm done with the work. I'm getting to see a film tonight. I'm jazzed, and I just got two games dropped in my mailbox, so I'm well excited at the moment. I'm having a damn good day.
Fantastic. And Shane Gregory.
Hey, everybody.
Come on down.
just to like to say a big thank you to everybody yesterday who posted their birthday wishes on my Facebook page.
Yes, and I think at this point we do have to say 1, 2, 3, happy birthday, Shane. You thought I was going to sing. See, we can't sing because it's copyright infringement.
Yeah, I know it was, and I was kind of not sure where you were going with that one.
I don't want to pay the royalties on it.
I'm liking this. Look, I can push him. He's like right there. It's really...
It's good, isn't it?
This is much more heartwarming.
You can prod him when he's being quiet now.
Exactly.
don't make me get my weapon out my bag.
All right,
let's get on with this. This is Geek Actually Tech. This is our weekly tech component of the Geek Actually Network. We basically sit down for the next hour, and we talk a little bit about accessible tech for the tech or non-tech alike. And this week we've got a little bit of news, and then we're going to follow it up with a little discussion on what is the right computer for you.
No, that way. That way, try.
The computer's changed. What's the right computer for you? we're going to have a little look at what is currently on sale. What are people actually buying, and what should they be buying? And we've got Tales from the Front. Because both of these guys work in the retail sector right now.
We're right there on the front
line.
They're right there
on the front line. They're going to give us the tales from the front, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. But before we do that, we do have a little bit of previously on Geek Actually Tech. First of all, last week we talked about Leo Laporte's little stunt about trying to get Twitter followers for Lisa Tickled Pink. Well, I just thought we'd let you know that she has now actually surpassed the 22,000 follower mark. And I think she is actually, I could be wrong about this, but I think she has more followers than Conan's girl. So
oh, wow.
I think they have actually managed to achieve what they set out to do. So
awesome.
So good luck to you, Lisa Tickled Pink. And a reminder, if you haven't followed her yet, Leo Laporte is picking one follower at random to give an iPad to on the day of release in America. He will mail it out worldwide. So you could be, if you win it, you could be one of the first people in Australia to have an iPad. So just a thought, it's a 1 in 22,000 chance, but that's better than playing the lottery.
That's true. And you don't even have to pay for a ticket.
And you don't even have to pay for postage.
Wonderful.
So, go ahead, follow her right now. Get those numbers up. Let's see if we can't make Lisa Tickled Pink up to at least 25,000 before this thing is drawn. What do you think? That'll be kind of cool.
I reckon that'd be well cool.
Also, we have another piece of follow-up news on previous episodes, which is Google. We talked about the whole Google thing, and on the Google...
And we're never going to get this right. It just keeps flopping backwards and forwards.
Flip-flop. Basically, Google was in talks to basically smooth things out with China. They were saying that they may stay there, blah, 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 blah. It goes on and on and on. Anyway, came out March 15th, an article came out in the Sydney Morning Herald that basically says that Google is almost certain to pull out of China. Apparently, talks have stalled, and Google has actually said, quote,
really? China, not talking.
Oh, it's a
surprise. Who would have seen that coming?
Basically, they said that Google is 99.9% sure that they are pulling out of China. Well, they're pulling out the Chinese search engine. Now, this is where it gets a bit muddy because a couple of weeks ago, they were talking about the Nexus One launch over in China, and they were talking about how this is going to be this big retail launch and so forth. But now they're saying they're going to pull out China. But this is, I think what they're talking about here is Google.cn. They're talking about the Google search engine. Now, Shane, you had follow-up on this as well.
Yeah, I just had a little bit of information. I was just reading up about this today. Apparently, there's been a lot of complaints with a lot of Chinese business owners, mainly because they actually use the search engine to provide income so the business can run efficiently.
Mm.
And they're talking about if they lose Google, then they want to be compensated for the loss and blah, blah, blah.
And I could do a very bad stereotypical Chinese accent right now, but I'm not going to. But I will hit you back with a quote from China. They actually said, if you don't respect Chinese laws, you are an unfriendly and irresponsible, and the consequences will be on you. And that was their answer to Google.
Wow, that's...
So that's basically saying, screw you, Google. And that's all there is to that, basically. All right, let's move on to some real news. So that was our update on what was been happening. We haven't got anything new on WebcamGate. I'm waiting to find out more about that, but I'm sure they're doing forensics at the moment, so we won't know anything until that actually hits courts. All right, in the news. Now, this actually, this kind of disturbed me, and I got to say, there is actually, right now, because we record on a Wednesday evening, their 7:30 report is on right now. Oh, it's actually just finished, I think, but if you do watch Foxtel or something, you can probably get a pickup, and ABC TV puts their stuff online. Have a look at it, because it made Josh angry. I haven't watched it yet. But there is a video game standoff at the moment, this violent standoff thing. Now, according to the Sydney Morning Herald, basically the family and Christian groups have drawn on evidence that they claim shows links between violent video games and increased violence among players as part of the broader debate. Now, they've brought all this to the Attorney General, and we're reaching a bit of a standoff at the moment, unfortunately, this because rhetoric works. And unfortunately, the rhetoric on the side of the gamers is, you should let us play, have freedom of speech, freedom of choice, all the things we believe in. We should sit there, you know, people should have choice and they should be allowed to play these things as over 18 adults and so forth. And all of that sounds wonderful. But on the other side, you got people sitting there saying, it will warp and bend your children. We have evidence. Psychologists are saying it's bad for them. This is going to derange your children. And unfortunately, I don't mean this to sound mean, but the majority of the population is what we refer to as, well, actually, not quite the majority, but the 33% is the 100% IQ, the people who sit there and believe what they're fed from news sources are going to hear that, and they're going to say, oh, they're going to derange our children.
Well, I mean, interesting you say that, though, because I think back to the days of Jack Thompson and his initial fight for that, and there wasn't enough evidence, like, I mean, to really do damage to gaming. Like, I mean, he brought up points that weren't even true, like things like extreme opposites, and he used to quote all sorts of doctors and stuff like that. It didn't work then. Like, I'm saying, yeah, sure. That
makes a lot. Yeah, but we are in a weirder society now.
Yeah, dude. But yeah. I mean, yeah, okay. You're extremists. You're you know, Christian, like, you know, separatists and so on and so forth. I'm sure these people will believe it. But the average person, man, has friends that have kids that have consoles, right?
Yeah, but the bigger question is, what will the attorney generals believe? And they're the ones with the final say on this, you know? And that's the problem. When you've got somebody like Atkinson who's holding out, who is part of that whole more minority, who's sitting there going, well, it's going to derange children, it's going to reflect badly on everybody. And it's like you sit there and go, well, you know, I don't know. You know what? I am actually starting to feel like we may not win this one.
Yeah, well, look, dude, I mean, it's happened before. My main standpoint on this is I went into this expecting to come out of it the same way that we went in.
Pretty much.
All that I'm hoping is that, you know, we get a say and we get a broadcast out there, and this is happening at the moment. I mean, I don't know what that 7:30 report's going to be like. If it's anything like most of their ABC stuff, it'll probably be relatively tame, as in it will throw a lot of nastiness off both sides with a lot of deep points and not really finalize anything. So it's just basically an opinions piece for whoever
and
grabs more.
We actually had a heads up from one of our contacts who works at the ABC, and basically said that he was letting us know in advance that this was coming up, and was basically saying it's a little bit heavy-handed. The report is a little bit heavy-handed the way it's done.
Yeah, and like it just saddens me that we've kind of got to this point, because, like, I mean, I think about all these things that are being said and all this thing about warping and violence and kids and stuff like that. And what I find so interesting about this is it saddens me only because all of the people I know, all my friends, people like me and Shane and so on and so forth, we are the nicest, most wholesome people you will ever meet. And we go out and we will talk constantly and we will play these shooting games and stuff like that. It doesn't affect us and it doesn't make us more violent. If anything, they're more passive. Everyone I know that plays games is less likely to go out and punch someone.
There is evidence, psychological evidence, to actually back that up as well.
The thing that I was going to say is, it's not just video games that corrupt children.
Yeah, and this,
you've got movies, you've got internet. Come on, there's
if anything, the internet itself is more of a deadly weapon than frickin' any game I can give you.
A deadly weapon.
No, it really is, Dave. You type the wrong thing into a search engine.
I'm not doubting you at all. Let me tell you.
Yeah, but again, I mean, this is the whole thing, dude. I mean, we can go backwards and forwards, but I reckon let's not stick too heavily on this, because until we know more news.
Well, absolutely, really. And this is the thing. I mean, we're going to watch that report, and we'll probably come back to that as a previously after we've had a look at this report as well. The discussion still is in. I mean, I'm right there with you, though. I mean, I once said to somebody, I actually said to them, you know, it was a joke almost, but I said, be careful out there. The internet's a dangerous place.
Yeah.
And he laughed at me and he said, oh, what are you talking about? It's just the internet. I said, well, actually, no.
Yeah.
And we started to, you know, talk about all the embedded malware and everything else that could be out there. And it's like, by the time you finish, you sit and go, why would anybody want to do that? You know, why would anybody want to go on the internet? Anyway, so just look in the bid to keep everybody informed, have a look at the Sydney Morning Herald. We'll have the links to all of these stories on the show notes. The article is basically called Video Game Standoff. And I think we've reached a bit of an impasse at this point.
Look, I mean, I'll be interested to see where it goes, but I don't know. I was actually just going to point out that Digi in our chat room has said she would actually say she's quite violent, and she's had two people agree with her so far. You were like that well before video games. Let's not try and blame that on video games. So anyway, next topic.
Next topic. We have actually been there's a Paris-based media rights group called Reporters Without Borders, and yesterday they put Australia and South Korea on its list of countries that are under surveillance. Because they are considered internet enemies.
So, wait, who are they under surveillance by?
By a Paris-based media rights group called Reporters Without Borders.
Wow.
And they've basically said that we have been put under surveillance because they're considering, at this point, they're considering Australia to be an internet enemy. They're preparing a report called Internet Enemies Report.
Awesome.
Anyway, so I just thought that was very funny. I thought it was funny that, once again, in the world view, we are seen as bad as Korea. I think that's just terrible. I mean, really. Can we get much worse? And, you know, quite frankly, the internet censorship filter is around the corner.
Mm.
You know, it's around the corner, and it's, I believe, our parliament has started to resit now, and they did say that the agenda of the internet censorship filter was going to hit the table when it actually started to resit. They won't be able to, I don't think, implement it until after a federal election, but it's on the table. They're talking about it now. Mm. Stephen Conroy basically has what he considers evidence, which is his test, which was a failed test, we know that. Mm-hmm. I do have Stephen Conroy's reply to being under surveillance, though, which I thought was quite funny, where he basically says, and does this not sound defensive to you? Mm-hmm. He basically says, what we have indicated is we will block, is refuse classification content, material that is not currently available in a newsagent, in a bookstore, on a DVD, at the movies, or on television. Material like child pornography, pro-rape websites, pro-bestiality websites, and material of that nature. And if that's all it was, we wouldn't be arguing
with you. We would be like, fine.
You know, if that's all it was, fine. But that's not all it is, and he knows it, and he's sounding defensive now. Because, look, let's face it, Australia likes to be a world player. We're such a small population, we have to make a big noise to be a world player, and at the moment the world is looking at us going, really? That's what you're doing? Anyway, I think Josh and I summed it up when we were outside just before the show, and we said, if the R rating doesn't go through and the internet censorship filter is implemented, I think we're both going back to New Zealand.
Yes. Yep, that's
well,
it.
Well, he's going back, and I'm moving there. We'll just take up the whole operation and take it away. Anyway, all right, let's move on to something a little bit lighter. Now, I got to say right off the bat that I don't understand the negativity towards this, and I was talking to Josh about this afternoon. The Apple iPad's battery is not user changeable. We know that. It sucks, but we know that, okay? So Apple basically says if your battery fails, you bring it into us or you send it into us, and we replace the battery for a fee. This is what they do with iPhones, and this is what they do with the new iPods, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody got up in arms, though, because they basically said for the iPad, it's going to cost $99 to replace the battery. However, what they're not reading into, and this is the part where Josh and I looked at it and said, really, what's the problem here? Which is, for $99, say, 1 year of use, your machine's had lots of wear and tear, there's probably scratches on the screen and everything else, your battery starts to fail. Mm-hmm. For $99, they replace the whole iPad. They don't just replace the battery. They replace the whole iPad. They give you a new one. And all I can say is for $99, you could refresh that thing every year. What's the problem?
I honestly cannot see a problem with that. I am actually incredibly okay with that. I mean, recently I had a complete fail on my iPhone, and I had to do a complete reinstall of all the stuff I have. Now, that stuff's all on my computer, and it's all backed up.
Yeah, well,
safely.
Look, the iPad
and the entire 16 gig transfer took about An hour and 10 minutes.
Well, let me tell you from experience, I've got a 32 gig 3GS. The entire thing is backed up. The backup runs every time I plug it in. It runs a sequential backup. Yeah. Backup takes about, half a minute to actually update itself, and everything is there. When I actually replaced my iPhone recently, I literally plugged it in, said restore from backup. 20 minutes later, it was completely back, including all high scores on the games and everything that I was playing. Everything was back. Complete restore.
Nice.
So all I can say is the iPad's going to be the same. So you just plug it in, you run your backup, you take it into the Apple Store, say, my battery's dead, they replace it, you bring it back, plug it back in, bingo, you're back in business 20 minutes later.
Yeah.
I don't see a problem with this.
Are they going to do an Apple Care for the iPad as well?
I would imagine
they do an Apple Care for everything.
Yeah, there's always been an Apple Care.
Wouldn't the battery be covered under Apple Care?
That I'm not sure about, because there is actually a clause in most warranties where they, like on mobile phones, for instance, battery and screen are not covered under the warranty because they're considered to be the two most fragile parts.
Yeah.
I don't know what's in the Apple Care on that. So that would have to be looked at. Yeah. I do know that the battery that comes with the MacBook Pro 17-inch I have over here is covered because I actually talked to them about it once, and they said they would replace that battery if there was a problem. So it might be the same. Who knows? But anyway, I don't see a problem with that. I think that's fantastic. It makes me want an iPad even more. Yeah.
So we have another iPad-related story, though, and I think this one is awesome. Can we please get into this one?
Would that be the Dell?
That would be the Dell.
That would be the Dell. Okay.
That would be Dell's wonderful name.
All right, so Dell is coming out with their new tablet. And I got to say, you know, it looks pretty. I've got a picture. And if you want to see a picture, once again, the link will be in the show notes for this episode. It's called a Mini 5. And it looks like an iPad, quite frankly, but it's colorful. It comes in blue or gray or pink or red or yellow. It actually has a dock connector. It has a camera with a flash, though, which the iPad does not have.
Hell yeah.
It's got a 5-megapixel camera in there and the whole bit. But the thing that really kicks it for me is its name. The other thing, though, the one major difference between this and the iPad, though, is the iPad's a 10-inch screen. The Mini 5 is a 5-inch screen. So it's a lot smaller screen. However, what really got me about it was the fact that it's called the Streak.
That's awesome. I'm sorry. Who the fuck named that?
All I can think is everybody criticized the iPad when it came out, so we can use the iPad to wipe up our streak now. So good. All right, this is actually this story is actually kind of long-winded. We might actually just glance over this and come back to this one next week, because I actually want to get Denny involved in this. But just thought I'd bring it up very briefly, which is that the new OpenGL 4.0 is about to be released, or it has just been released, one of the two. Mm-hmm. And basically they're saying they're taking aim directly at Microsoft's DirectX 11. And they're saying that it can do everything that DirectX 11 can do. However, it's open source and completely cross-compatible with OpenCL, which is what all the Apples are using.
Yeah.
And Josh made the interesting observation straight away off the bat on that, which is maybe that's how they're making Steam work.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I just think that has to be exactly where they'd be going. I mean, it's interesting that this comes out like a week after the announcement, and it just seems like such a perfect tool to fix that. Is just, you've got this perfect system, and you just, if it can do what DirectX it claims that it can do the same thing, there's no reason that this
look, and I've
happen.
Got lots of stats and all sorts of stuff about what this thing can do, but I'm going to hold off on that because we're already 20 minutes into the news already, because Josh and I talked about it at lunch this afternoon. We basically said, oh, God, we really need to get Denny on Skype, even if he can't make it in. We've got to get him on Skype. Denny was in platforms on Monday. He is a huge computer PC gamer, and he was really excited because today he took possession of his new DirectX 11 graphics card.
No idea how incredibly ecstatic he is right now.
Yeah, exactly. So I think what we need to do is get him in. We'll hold that article. We'll make sure we hold on to that, and we will actually get him in next week to talk about this after we get a little bit more information as well. All right. Now, this is just a really brief one because I just thought, you know what? Human viruses mutate, and it would seem to me that computer viruses are coming very much the same way, because they've now found computer viruses in, as we know, a couple years ago, photo frames that were sold. These were the network photo frames, though. They're not huge over here, but in America they're quite big, where basically they're Wi-Fi enabled, so you can actually update your frame straight from your PC. a particular shipment of these frames from China actually had a virus in them, in the software, and infected people. And now they've just discovered that there's a batch of USB phone chargers that actually have viruses in them. And so as soon as you plug your computer into your phone into your computer to charge, the virus is transferred to your computer. So
that's freaking hilarious.
It's wild, man. But what they're actually saying is they actually don't even think it's a new thing. According to this article on news.com.au, once again, the link will be in the show notes. What they're basically saying, this is the U.S. Computer Emergencies Readiness Team. Basically, they put out a warning on it, but they said not to panic. They don't think it's anything new, and they think, oh, virus protection software will protect from it. They think it's actually a hangover from about a year ago when we had that huge spurt of viruses that came out everywhere, and they don't even think it was on purpose. They think it may just be a hangover from that time. That fan is creaking like crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it may just be a hangover from those times, but just be aware that you want to have your virus protection updated on all your machines, because you never know. When you stick something in, you never know what it might – you don't know where it's been, basically, all right? Yeah, and that sounds incredibly sexual, and it wasn't meant to. But
innuendo
is a wonderful thing. All right, now just back to the Apple iPad really quickly. This is just a public service announcement. If you are planning on buying an iPad straight off the bat, this may not actually affect Australia because we're getting the iPad a month later. But in America, a bunch of its peripherals, including the plug-in keyboard, the cover that they're – the fold-out cover they're talking about – none of this is going to ship on time. It's actually going to come several weeks later. It looks like Apple didn't quite hit the deadlines that they were planning. And so some of the peripherals will be later. It says five accessories for the iPad: keyboard dock, case, the plain dock, 10-watt USB power adapter, and dock connector to the VGA adapter. Will all be late.
Are these made by Apple, or are they third-party?
These are the Apple. As far as I'm aware,
I reckon, dude, seriously, you will see third-party ones hit the market straight
away. Oh,
that is the best thing you could possibly do. That would be like Christmas to the people that make third party. They'd just be like, oh God, yes, we're going to be there on day one, and you're not.
Quite frankly, most of the third party equipment that you can get for the iPhone is better than the Apple stuff anyway. Yeah. So anyway, just thought I'd let you know that came out in an article on CNET March 16th, and I just thought that was quite intriguing. But as I say, it might not affect Australia because we're getting it later.
Mm.
So it may all be fixed by then. The internet war is back, Josh.
I know, man.
It's a shooting war. It's a shooting war because we've got a new employee at Google. Now, for those who haven't been following it, we're actually going to start bringing the internet war back to the Standard Geek Actually show in a couple of weeks, because we've got some real big excitement, and the Geek Actually show is kind of where it spawned, so that's where we're going to put it back. But for today, Google's Eric Schmidt and Apple CEO Steve Jobs have been at each other's throats for weeks now. We've reported on this a couple of times, but this just killed me. Tim Bray, who was the co-inventor of XML, has joined Google. He's basically been hired by Google as a developer advocate, and basically he has come straight into Google, and while everybody else was trying to be diplomatic about it, he came out with a blog post that I quote says, as of now, they're selling around 90,000 iPhones per day compared to around 60,000 Android handsets. It's a horse race. The iPhone vision of the mobile internet's future omits controversy, sex, and freedom, but includes strict limits on who can know what and who can say what. It's a sterile, Disney-filed, walled garden surrounded by sharp-toothed lawyers. The people who create the app serve at the landlord's pleasure and fear his anger. I hate it.
Wow, that is brutal, man. That is just so harsh.
Isn't that brilliant?
That's like, that's just summing up every little conversation you've had with somebody that has anything Apple related and just taking it to extremes. He's just, I mean, like, he's vilified them. He's actually visually put an idea in your head of Steve Jobs with a giant coat and a cape just whipping people.
So there is actually a lot more to his quote and his blog post, and I would suggest you go and have a look at it for yourself. He is vicious towards Apple.
And all that is brutal.
And all I can think is, do you think Google actually sanctioned it, or are they sitting there right now going, man, you can't say that?
I think it would be interesting to find out how that pans out.
Yeah, so it's going to be very interesting. It does actually say the tragedy is, he actually goes on to say, the tragedy is that Apple builds some great open platforms. I've been a happy buyer of their computing systems for some years now, and despite my current irritation, will probably go on using them. So he isn't completely against Apple, but he's really pissed off at the way the entire App Store works and everything else. So,
well, you know what? Fuck that, man. I'm actually, sorry, again, I break your internet thing. But I just totally disagree, man. I mean, I did not like the idea of having to pay for apps, but when I actually see that a game like GTA is $12, $8.95 at the moment, as opposed to in store where I could buy it for $57, I'm sitting there going, oh, I'm sorry that I have to pay these ridiculous prices for apps. No, I'm not. I'm really not.
Yeah, well, I think what he's objecting to is that closed nature of Apple, which is things like when they turn around and say, we're taking 5,000 apps off the App Store right now. I'm sorry. Goodbye. We approved you, but now we don't want you anymore.
Yeah, all right. Look, I mean, I know that every now and then.
All right, so last story of the day, and this one just made me laugh. This is just a continuation of a story that we actually started on Geek Actually way back, Josh, which is we're back to the Large Hadron Collider again.
Oh, yes!
Basically, a woman tried to sue the Large Hadron Collider.
I like the tried to sue.
Tried to sue because she was actually thrown out because apparently she could not verbally communicate her ideas over what her fears were, but she believed that the Large Hadron Collider was going to bring upon the apocalypse. And so she wanted it stopped.
So she took them to court.
She tried to take
based
them to court.
Based on an apocalypse claim.
Based on an apocalypse claim. And her
was she wearing a sign and
It actually does say in the article, it actually goes on to say, and I love this, this is in, once again, CNET, they actually say, we cannot confirm whether or not she had a sandwich board on at the time.
You see, everyone thinks like we do. No, but I adore that, man. I really do, because I just think that's fantastic. I mean, in a movie, she'd be that one sane person while the rest of us sit there and don't realize that this is going to, you know, blow up the world. You know, and she would be the person that would obviously come up against the scientist characters in the movie and be like, you don't understand what you're doing, and you're just sitting there going, wow.
According to her, though, some of her concerns were, according to this article, it says, some find the essence of searching for the God particle an excessively ambitious pursuit for mere mortals, especially European ones who make the YouTube videos. Apparently she makes YouTube videos. Others are concerned that if a baguette dropped by a bird can halt the scientific one, then what catastrophe might some more nefarious animals achieve? One collider physicist has reportedly been arrested on terrorist charges. And the reason why all this comes out now is because by the end of April, apparently it's going up to full power. So it hasn't gone up to full power yet. And so when it goes up to full power, she's worried the world's going to be sucked into a black hole.
Well, if it does, it'll
it'll make for an interesting afternoon.
Yeah. Does something like that happen immediately, or are we going to have some time?
I don't know. I think Roland Emmerich should make a movie about it.
I think he's already in the... He's already sitting there. He's already hiring, you know, terribly cast people to play roles that don't have anything to do with the movie, and it'll have 17 different stories running at once, and only one of them will have anything to do with the collider. And then they'll all come together right at the last moment, just as the world gets sucked into nothingness. But somehow, humans... As a whole group of people will somehow dominate over the top of it and, I don't know, block it with love.
And it'll have guest starring Randy Quaid and Woody Harrelson.
And Woody Harrelson, both being crazy at the same time.
Which in itself...
That will bring on the apocalypse.
Which in itself will open a black hole. Okay, we're half an hour into this beast, so we're going to go on to our topic of the week. I thought we'd end with the Large Hadron Collider because that just made me laugh. I love Large Hadron Collider stories. I'm sorry. I find the whole thing very amusing.
Oh, dude, you and me both.
It's a particle generator.
Yeah.
I don't think it... Let me just state for the record. I don't think, and I could be wrong, touch wood, I could be wrong. It's on record
now. If it is.
If it is, I don't care because I'll be dead anyway. But I don't think it's going to open a black hole or a singularity or destroy the planet. I think it's going to... find some particles. You know, I think if we were going to destroy this planet, I think the nuclear weapons on this planet would do a better job.
Mm.
You know, quite frankly.
Or the waste, or, you know.
Or the waste, or the pollution, or the melting polar ice caps, or anything else that we're doing to this world. I think the, what is it, the trash pile that is forming in the middle of the ocean at the moment has more chance of destroying our ecological system than this does. But That's just me. All right, let's go on. We're going to talk a little bit. We're going to have a little open mic discussion here about computers and about what is on the market today, what people need, what people, as opposed to what people want or think they need. And I'm going to throw this over to Josh to get us started.
All right, cool, man. Well, look, we were having a discussion a little while ago, and I have had some friends that have been talking.
Before you go on, Digital Angel's already answered the question. She says, high-end Mac.
Okay, for starters, we will be taking nothing out of the chat room from Digital for the rest of the show. I was having a talk with a friend recently who discovered that we were doing a tech podcast, and they said, well, it's really good to have something that is about, you know, sort of tech information for the people that may not understand tech information. And they actually brought up the concept of saying, well, can you try and help me out with buying a computer? And it was interesting because obviously me and Shane both work in computers and we sell these for a living. And I've sort of been thinking over the last little while, and we decided to break it down to three distinct groups of laptops. Mm-hmm. And basically we're going to be talking, at least on this show, entirely about the portable style of computer. And this is
the desktop dead?
The desktop is not dead. There are still places for it. I mean, you can easily use a laptop nowadays.
Since we're surrounded by desktop machines. But
you can easily get a laptop which can do the current generation's desktop work. Fine, no problems. But there's always a place for them because there's always that person that just wants a screen on the desk. And I mean, we are moving into the all-in-ones and so on and so forth. But we can save that for another day. For now, we're talking about average person's use, the kind of person that wants the ability to use it wherever they want.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
And we're going to break this into three distinct categories. One which is the first one we're going to talk about will be laptops as we know them and as they always have been. Your 15.6 upwards kind of a screen, high resolution, you know, high detail, high abilities. The second one we will be talking about is a new style of computer which is available and really has a kind of hex put on it because a lot of people don't understand what it is and what it does, which is called a ULV. There's a couple of different types on the market currently. These are the idea of low processor speed but high high capacity and high battery life. And then of course the third one we will be talking about is netbooks. So basically I think the first one that we are going to talk about will you know, hopefully at least spawn digital quietness for a little while, because
just for those who are listening for the first time, Digital Angel in our chat room is a diehard Mac fan.
Yeah, so. To the point where she can't accept anything else. So,
except no substitute.
All right, so your average style of laptop really has developed a lot in the last couple of years, and we really have got to the point where the average laptop is as good as a PC. I recently, for a friend of mine, was looking for a PC, like a desktop machine. That's what they wanted. And what I found interesting was even at the prices I can get, it was cheaper for me to get a laptop than to set her up with a desktop and a screen, because the prices for parts and for a medium-range laptop really have slipped over the last few years. Incredibly, when you think about it, like 2 or 3 years ago, you were paying $3,000 for a decent machine. And I think what really kind of brings these different levels of machines is the fact that we all want different things out of a laptop. The style of what a computer does now has really changed over the years. It's not the same as it was back then, where it was aim for the highest spec machine you can, get that. That will entail, allow you to run everything you can as fast as possible. But we've gone past that now because the average person is using select items on a machine. These are all things that used to be done in day-to-day life on paper or so on and so forth and are now just being ported to a digital phase. And
We've seen over the last year, we've seen the advent of a big change, sea change, so to speak, which would be the advent of cloud computing. Because so many people are moving into things like Google Docs and so forth, and they're moving all that processor power off their computer.
Exactly, exactly. And I think there'll always be a place for the laptop in people's worlds. A 15.6-inch screen upwards is a very good thing to have. Anything under that can actually be a little bit annoying, especially if you're using this as your regular machine. Like, I think Shane would agree with me with the fact that if you've got that one machine which is going to be in your house and it's going to be used by everyone, you want something that's big enough so that you can put a movie in it and play it, or you want the ability to be able to do some heavy-duty things. And laptops, at the moment, will always hold that front. It's basically, if you come to someone and say something like, we want to have a machine that can do photo editing, I'm not going to select either of the other two of these options, because you want something that has power. And really, along the way, laptops will always win out on that front over the other two, because they give you the freedom to do your everyday stuff plus these options. And you'll always
and once again, it comes down to that argument, though, which is what level of photo editing are you doing? Because once again, the cloud computing model, we've got online photo editors now, which can actually handle this material. So once again, this comes down to that argument as to what does the person actually require?
Yeah.
And this is why you really need to think about that question when you're actually going to buy that machine, because you had that guy. Now, this is the story I wanted you to tell.
Which story?
The guy who basically said it wasn't fast enough.
Oh, yes. Now, I have to explain to people that laptops are really fast, basically from the $700 mark up. They will do any of the things you currently want. And I had a return recently from a guy. I wasn't, thank God, because if I had, this situation would not have gone friendly. A customer brought back a machine which, just to save time for the chat room, is double the specs of my current home machine. This thing is only worth $1,000. The person bought it back, and I've only come in at the tail end of the conversation, where I've walked up and gone, hey, what's going on? Is he returning? He says it's not fast enough. And I'm like, what is he doing? And he's like, oh, he's just using Office. And I sat there and went, this thing has 4 gigs of RAM and a 2.3 gig processor. This thing will trash anything that I currently do and be able to do it better. It also has twice the video capacity my one does. And I just sat there and went, this guy has no concept of what fast is, right? And what fast is. I think this man really believed that if you click on a product, it just opens and there's no timing between that. Products still need to load. That's
he's been watching too much Star Trek. That's the problem.
Yes, well, we're not quite there yet. But anyway, I think basically in the laptop range, there's three things I want to talk about, and then I'm going to pass it over to Shane, and he can drop a few things on top of this. For your average user that is doing your everyday work, like my gentleman that decided his computer wasn't fast enough, if you're using Office, if you plan to do photo editing, if you'd like to do a few movie editings when you've got, you know, the family, wedding photos or whatever, and you want to convert those over and crop and cut and paste, to have something with a decent processing speed is good. It will help that out. And also, these are the kind of people that buy a computer with the intention of keeping it for a while, right? Mm. To get either a high-spec dual core, so basically anything Intel dual core, or a high-end AMD Turon, both of those will do the job fine. Or you could head up to your quad cores, which are sort of above the $1,500 mark. Now, all of these in the laptop range will do everything you require. They will do that and more, okay? And I really think that if you're going out there and this is the only computer you're going to have, you have a couple of people using it in the house, maybe you and your girlfriend, you live in a single house, you're going to be playing games and she's going to be doing the thing, this is the model you should be heading for. And I think expect to pay between sort of the $800 mark up to about the $1,500 mark.
And so this basically, that range of computers you're looking at, this is your desktop replacement machine.
Exactly.
This is the machine that you do for everyday computing, for a computer that you might want to play a game on, a computer that you might want to run Photoshop on or Office on or what have you. Yeah. This is the machine you want.
Absolutely. And if the concept of trying to use all these programs, or you have no idea where these programs come from or how you would use them, then, and Digital's going to love this, Mac is the option for you. You're going to pay more than you would for a PC. Don't aim for that $800 mark. You're going to be spending at least kind of the $1,300. That will be your starting spec computer. But that computer will have the software to do everything you require. Yeah. All you will have to do is probably buy the Office package. So kind of if you're computer illiterate, definitely go to Mac.
Unless you want to play games.
And I'm coming back to that.
That could be changing, though.
That could be changing. That definitely could be changing. But if you want a computer which just does these basic tasks and you don't want the fuss or, you know, sort of any sort of side things, then Mac is definitely the choice for you. if you want to be able to play games, if you want your machine to be more open and have the ability to use a lot more things, then this is definitely the PC range, and you can probably save yourself a bit of money.
And just to correct the chat room, Psydog, he didn't say illiterate people buy Macs. He said computer illiterate people buy Macs.
Exactly. I said nothing of that.
No. Very briefly, because we don't want to, we're not making this a Mac PC argument. But you just when you look at the whole Mac PC argument very quickly in a nutshell, you just basically say it depends on what you want to do. If you're looking for a home computer that is for capturing your photos, putting up a quick website, whatever it is, all that stuff is pre-built into the machine. You're ready to go out of the box. It's really easy to set up. It is a great computer for the house. It's also dead quiet. We'll sit in the lounge room, super quiet, absolutely, and everything else. But it is not for somebody who wants to really tinker with their computer as well.
No.
You're not. You don't have the ability to get in there and really tinker with that.
No, absolutely not. So Shane, what do you reckon, man? Like, let's talk models, man.
I just want to make four very important points before you go out and buy. Before you go out and buy anything, four things you have to keep in mind, because these change all the time: CPU, RAM, hard drive, graphics card will keep evolving all the time. You have to keep that in mind whenever you're buying any computer, no matter what price point it's going to be. But obviously, like what Dave was mentioning before, it does come down to what are you doing with it to begin with. And then we can actually go on what actual price you're looking at to spend. And
also, there's a very, very, very interesting point in here, which is you also have to remember that on all of these options, whether it be Mac or whether it be a laptop, a notebook, or what have you, the upgrade path on these machines is incredibly limited.
Exactly. So when you're buying this, you're buying that machine, and that will be what you'll get.
When people talk about upgrading their CPUs or upgrading their graphics cards, they're talking about the beige box. They're talking about the desktop desktop PC.
Yeah.
These machines, and Apple is, even their desktop machines, except for their Mac Pro range, are fixed.
Exactly.
You can basically upgrade the RAM. That's about it.
Yeah.
You know?
That's probably the main point which I bring across to any customer that's, obviously, once future benefits out of their machine, I said, look, well, it has 2 gigabytes. Did you know you can upgrade this to 4?
Exactly.
You can do that any time. It doesn't void the warranty.
Well, look, I mean, I agree with you wholeheartedly. And I think that one thing to sort of add on to that is when you go into a store, I would be very disappointed in the store if you walked up to the computer salesman. Just tell them that you want to go middle of the range. That way they can kind of explain to you what that is. But basically, you're not going to know if you're not the average person. If you're not like us that work with it every day, you don't know what these numbers mean. You don't know what i3, i5, i7. You don't really need to know that. But do aim middle of the range. And what I'm saying, at the current point in time that we're talking at now, to spend about $1,200 to $1,300 will get you a brilliant middle of the range laptop. Now, the four computers that I want to drop into this category that I would suggest for people, there is a $1,300 Asus machine currently available. It's available everywhere. It has the USB 3 stickers on the front of it. I did not get time to grab the actual model number. Mm-hmm. It has an i5 processor, which is quad-core. It has the 4 gigs of RAM, which you really should aim for now. I advise anyone that. On top of that, it has a 512, very decent graphics card. And the machine is just really reliable. And Asus are the only company that come with a 2-year warranty.
Right.
So that would definitely be one of mine. The other one that I would definitely point out at this stage in time that I really like for the average person will definitely be the 13-inch MacBook, not MacBook Pro. The MacBook Pro is a very nice...
The classic white.
Exactly. The classic white MacBook is definitely in my top four because it is just such a simple machine. And if you are buying a computer to replace or you are looking at going down that Mac route, it is just the perfect machine. Mm-hmm. It's capable. It's dedicated. It has software installed that will help you with all that basic stuff.
The only thing I would say about that machine, though, is that you must get the RAM upgrade pack to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not even saying don't get Apple's RAM, though. This is a really important point, though. Apple's RAM is actually about four times the price of anybody else's RAM.
No,
there are many sites. In fact, one of them I will actually recommend to you is macfixit.com.au, where you can actually buy Kingston RAM at a fraction of the cost.
Exactly. No, for sure. Number three on my list is going to be somewhat of a controversy between people I know, but the machine that I'm going to suggest in my third position is actually a Compaq. And it's not particularly, you know, the most, you know, well-recognized brand, and a lot of people do have some sort of tension towards
it.
It's
so funny you say it, because Compaq used to be the player.
It used to be.
And then HP bought it, and it's just
and then
died.
It's sort of just between that and just the fact that the first models that they brought out around that time were very, very iffy. Mm-hmm. The current model that they have, there is this brilliant model available, which is a 14-inch machine. Now, 14 inches...
It's an unusual one?
Yes, 14 inches is not a standard size, therefore custom-cut screens, therefore the price usually goes up. This is not the case with this machine. It's running a beautiful i3 processor, it has 4 gigs of RAM, and a 512 video card, and it is under $1,000. It is $998. This is a brilliant machine for the price. DVD burner, everything you would expect in a current computer. And to get that in a 14-inch, this is the perfect machine for somebody that doesn't want to go that step down and kind of go, you know, to a Mini Note or to a ULV. Someone that wants an actual laptop, this is a brilliant thing to be able to take to uni or anything like that. The only thing I will warn people is it still only has a 2 to 3 hour battery life. So don't expect to be carting this thing around and using it a lot off power. But those would be my main three. The other one that I just say to anyone is anything Toshiba in that price range is brilliant.
Let's be realistic, though. On standard laptops, we're not talking about netbooks or anything, but on standard laptops, you're really lucky if you're getting a battery of anything between 4 hours, 5 hours.
Absolutely. And this is definitely one of the down points that I'm going to bring up just after we've, you know, sort of finished up. We've talked about the good reasons for buying these machines. We will talk about the bad reasons. But Shane, do you have any other laptops that you'd like to drop onto that?
No, they're very similar to what I would pick. Possibly, obviously, if it came down to the Apple, I would say perhaps at some particular point, do you actually have a creative side to yourself? Do you actually go on holidays with your digital camera and take pictures? Would you eventually come back after those holidays and like to edit those photos or make your home movies? If they were that kind of person, I would obviously switch them to the Mac.
Yeah.
But obviously, if they're a gamer or
let's not kid ourselves. When it comes to a lifestyle machine, the Mac is untouchable.
Absolutely.
I
would definitely say that. Look, the few down points that I'm going to bring up about this style of laptop are, number one, as we were saying, battery life. Battery life is terrible in a normal machine. Like, the higher end you go, the lower your battery life is going to be. Some of the high-end machines that are running these to bring up the hard drive speed, which is usually the number one floor on the customer, you know, setting, they're actually putting in dual-rated hard drives, like 2 320s instead of a 500-gig hard drive. Now, this is fucking death to your battery. It will destroy your machine. And they literally cut them down to about an hour to an hour and a half's battery life. And so if you're using it off-power a lot, these really have... Laptops have basically become, as you said, desktop replacements. Don't expect to move around a lot with this. And another thing is, what a lot of people don't realize, it's a really bad idea to sit these things on your lap. All you are doing is frying your machine.
Let's make this very clear. The term laptop is not to be taken literally.
Yeah.
They are not actually laptop machines. They really do need to be on a flat surface because the vents for these machines are usually on the bottom.
Yeah.
And when you put them on the cushion or on the bed or anywhere else, you're basically blocking all the vents to these machines.
Exactly, and frying your computer.
And you're frying those computers. And let's face it, there is actually something, this gets a little slightly more technical, but there is actually a condition to a machine called silicon migration. And what happens with silicon migration is when the machine gets too hot, the actual silicon starts to separate.
Yep.
And the silicon is where your processor is being held. And the more that separates and then it cools down, it doesn't come back. It slows over time. It will just get slower and slower until the machine just dies, basically. Yep. So, laptop is a misnomer. They should be called notebooks.
Yeah, absolutely.
Another point I was going to bring up, downside is, okay, yes, this has a new i5 processor, and it has an ability to overclock the CPU. Don't do that if you don't know what you're doing.
Oh, no, absolutely. Don't change the specs of your computer until you've talked to somebody that knows what they're doing. And I'm not talking, and I love this, I'm stealing this from a friend of mine, what he calls IT eddies, which are those guys that you will have that's a friend of yours that you would take to a computer store to go computer shopping. Do not trust this man. No. Do not trust us when we are in a computer. We are going for a totally different thing to what you want.
Now, look, let's just explain for those who don't know, understand what overclocking is. Overclocking is actually a very bad idea, okay? Because the way they actually rate a processor's speed, you know, when you see those magic numbers, like it's a 233 or something like that, what they basically do is they clock the computer at a certain speed and they run it. If it doesn't crash, they clock it up. They run it. If it doesn't crash, they clock it up. They run it. If it doesn't crash, they keep doing this until basically the machine crashes. Once they get that, they ramp the speed back down until it gets to its stable position, and they say, this chip is rated at that speed, right? When you overclock, you are putting it into the danger zone. You're putting it into that area where it's – and they get really, really hot.
Oh, dude, it's not even that. One thing – another thing I want to bring up about that point. We won't harp on about this because this is not for the average person. But the other thing that is incredibly bad about overclocking is like, this is basically – like giving yourself an adrenaline shot. That's what you're doing to your computer. Yes. There is no good outcome for this, okay?
You'll get a short-term benefit and a long-term problem.
Absolutely, and that's why I definitely do not advise that.
Cydog in our chat room has basically said, what laptops to avoid?
Yes, now that is what I was going to bring up. I'm just going to hop on about a few particular things that I have a massive pet hate for. Number one on my list is Acer. Acer, A-C-E-R. These laptops are just dangerously bad put together. The design is flawed. The keyboards are terrible.
The cases break really easy.
Yep, and these machines just go at the bottom of my list. I would not, excuse the phrasing, but I would not piss on these things to put out a fire.
And the customer support is very bad.
And exactly, and the customer support.
They're a Korean company, yeah?
Yeah. The other thing that I would definitely avoid is, and this is going to be so much controversy over me saying this, but Dell. Avoid Dell. Anything that isn't over $1,500, avoid. Okay?
Yeah, I was about to say, because their high-end stuff is actually
Their high-end stuff is brilliant.
And their desktop machines are actually pretty good. Because you build them to spec.
Again, if they're over a certain amount of money, fine. But those ones that you will see on a storefront, on the thing, even their desktops are so shoddily put together. I am sorry. I've been inside these things. No way. No way. But low-end Dells are just – they're just dangerously and badly designed.
Yeah. There are exceptions to this, of course, because the one thing I will give Dell is their monitors are beautiful. They make gorgeous displays.
But and on a counteract to that, if you are going to buy a Dell monitor, make sure you don't have kids because the actual screens are very, 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 very temperamental. One finger on the front of a screen can crack it.
Oh, really? I didn't know about that. Okay.
No, I've had more than one problem about that. Shane, any ones you want to avoid?
I would also have to mention, unfortunately, Compaq and HP as well.
Yeah, Compaq.
We've had a lot of issues.
Yeah, with the exception of the Compaq I talk about, I totally agree with Shane. We have a lot of those mid-range ones, especially the AMD ones. As much as I am an AMD fan, their mid-range AMDs are just not worth going near.
How's Toshiba rating nowadays?
Toshiba are fantastic. They are second in the world, and there is a reason for that. I mean, their machines, if I sell a Toshiba, I don't think twice about it.
I used to have a Satellite Pro many years ago. I used to love that machine. So.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, look, anyway, we've harped quite heavily on about
that. All right, we've only got about another 10 minutes. So what's the next category?
The next category is actually a short one. It won't take us very long to talk about, but I wanted to just drop a few mentions because the ULV systems, which are usually a lot smaller, they usually range in about a 14-inch. That's usually what you'll get them in. Sometimes a 13, sometimes a 13.3.
Down to 12s now.
Yep, they are also, I forgot about those ones. They're also the 12-inch ones. These machines are a whole new breed of computer, which is really, really misunderstood. I want to be clear straight off the bat that I am becoming more and more increasingly a fan of the idea. Alienware have taken up the concept as well. They are currently releasing machines because the thing about these machines is they may not have high processor speeds, which means that you can't have 10,000 windows open at once and so on and so forth. But the reason they usually come in smaller machines is because they are built for the purpose of everyday use away from power. So these things usually have 6 to 8 hour battery lives.
Yeah,
about 6 to 8 hour battery life, which is decent for a standard machine. They have usually above a 512 graphics card. The reason for this is because that really allows them to sort of push the power off the processing chip, mm-hmm. which allows them to stay stable, and they will usually have high RAM, like a 4 gig worth of RAM.
Right, okay.
And these machines will have a 6 hour battery life, and they will literally run really well for a really long period of time. We have actually done some testing on these machines lately. We have had Left 4 Dead running in high res on these monitors, computers, and they run perfectly. So these aren't machines that should be pissed on just because they have a low spec sheet. The honest truth about them is they are really, really good machines. The price, however, for them is going to rise. It's going to be more than a laptop because of the functionality as to the size and the battery life. You will usually rank in at about the $1,500 mark. Some of the 11-inch Shans we're talking about will range in sort of at the $10 to $1,200 range.
Another important thing to keep in mind with these ULVs is the majority of the market within the ULVs do not have a disk drive.
Yes, that's very,
very
true.
This is a common
true.
Trend
However,
that's happening.
In these things, because like I said, we're not going to harp on them royally, the one that I really, really think if somebody's looking for these exact concepts is go for the Asus model that is currently available. They are literally called the ULV.
We're not
range.
Sponsored by Asus people.
We're not. But like seriously, if you ask most IT people, they will go towards Asus. We're both using Asus machines. We both. I did this with the hand thing.
I know. I'm just specifying.
The reason being that they're tech-heavy computers. And look, their customer support is fantastic. Yeah. Like, we already know this. We actually talked about this on Geek Actually, I think.
I believe
where
so.
Where we brought up the list, and they are up the top. But the reason in particular is they have a really solid keyboard. It is an incredibly thin laptop, one of the thinnest I've seen. It's 14-inch, 8-hour battery life. It's about $1,500, and it just runs so well. And also, the only one I know that has a disk drive. Any other ones you can think of?
No, I forgot to mention a very good brand, which are very new to the market, that have done actually really well here in Australia. That would have to be Samsung.
Ah.
Really nice brand.
Yes, no, and getting a really unfair rap by the common people because like it's the whole concept of not knowing what you're buying. I mean,
they make fridges
and TVs. That's what they do, and people don't trust them yet. What they don't understand is almost every screen that is out there is either Samsung or LG. So they're buying it from the Samsung. It's just the internals. Look, I have to say that Samsung do make a nice laptop, but they're definitely not in my top ones.
Yeah.
I have to
say. Netbooks for me, yes.
Yeah, okay, well, we'll come back to that.
Let's just drop ourselves down to netbooks because there does seem to be a misconception about netbooks out there, which is that people sit there and go, oh, but it's just a little laptop. It's actually not. And we've got to be very, very clear about what a...
This is something we are going to destroy.
Yeah, this is something we have to be very, very clear about what a netbook's purpose is. A netbook is basically there to supplement your computer using. Exactly. It's not there to replace your computer.
Absolutely not. This computer is actually what I suggest to people that are like going to uni or that are looking for another machine that they can carry with them, right?
And look, if you're a person who travels a lot, a netbook is really good to have for the airplane because, let's face it, planes are so tight now you don't have room to pull a laptop out now, but the little 10-inch netbook is a lot easier to pull out.
Absolutely, and even like to go further into the travel situation, if you are moving away from your current location, if you're going backpacking or something like this, a 10-inch is the most brilliant concept you can possibly have. It is a fully functioning computer, right? Okay, it may not be able to do video editing, it may not be able to play high-end games, standard computer use.
The definition of a netbook basically is up to 10 inches in size and running an Atom processor. This is basically the definition of a netbook. Now, the Atom processor, for all intents and purposes, is really not that much more powerful than what's in your average smartphone.
Yeah,
so absolutely. It's not a big processor. And now, they are talking about new... Intel's talking about new Atom processors are coming out that will be multi-core Atom processors, which will actually increase the power, but increase the speed of them. But the reason they use the Atom processor is because they use bugger all... battery life.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. The models that, because we're running low on time, Shane, we'll definitely cut them down. We'll probably skip straight ahead to basically, I'm just going to quickly wrap up the functionality and the reason they're so good. I have one of these 10-inch notebooks. We use them here for the show.
All three of us have them.
Yep, and these machines are great for sort of standard use. They're for those moments when you actually need to do work, and it's the sort of stuff where you can't quickly browse something from your phone. They are perfectly usable. You can type emails, run programs, do your office work on them, watch videos, all this sort of stuff. They're a fantastic middle ground machine, but don't think that they should be your standardized computer. If you have one of these things, they are not replacements for the concept of a desktop. the models that I'm going to hop on quickly. Go for anything nowadays that has the N450 chipset. They will usually, in most stores, be written on the tag to tell you that. The reason for the 450 chipsets is they are the new battery-saving chipsets, exactly the same process as the 1.33, but the advantage to them is the fact that they will pull a lot less battery power. If you can combine this with a 6-cell battery, you can usually get 8 to 11 hours of battery life out of a computer.
Well, my Samsung, I think, has about 6 to 7 hours at the moment, which is so much more than my laptop.
Okay. Now, I'm not going to go first this time. I'm going to get Shane to list off your top. Give us your top three netbooks.
Okay. Number one, definitely at the moment, would have to be the Asus model.
Which model?
It's called the 1005.
Absolutely. That's number one on my list, too. Not just because I'm an Asus fan, just because it's a brilliant design. But also, it's so good as well.
For those who don't know, Asus were the people who invented the netbook.
Yep. Exactly. So, the triple EPC, as they were originally called, yep. These were them, and they are known for a reason. And still that two-year warranty.
Also, it's very affordable as well, the 1005.
Yes, so it's a $500
just
one.
Under $500. Mm. Apart from that, next I would have to go for the Samsung.
N150, yeah, absolutely. Definitely. I've sold one of these to a friend of mine recently. These machines are a joy to use. They're slim, so much slimmer than the Asus. They're a little bit wider, but they really make up for that, and just the fact that these machines are just so sleek looking and really, really well purpose-built. And also they, like the Asus ones, can use the SDHC, so you can put 8 to 32 gigs worth of card in the side of your machine for added storage, which is good.
I'd have to say this is probably the very last one, only because it pretty much competes against one other company, which has to be Acer. I'm talking about another Asus machine. It's the 1001.
Yeah, it's interesting because the ones that are on the market that you can also get, there are HP models, there is Dell models, and there is Acer models. Did I say Acer twice?
I think you said Acer twice. Did you put Samsung in there? You did put Samsung.
No. Samsung's not in my avoid pile, definitely.
Oh,
not.
Sorry, the avoid
pile. HP, Dell, and Acer. These are the three companies that I would definitely say avoid. The reason I hate the Dell models, they are trying a new system which apparently is also going to be implemented in their standard computers, which is the idea of moving the screen closer to the person. This is uncomfortable to use. Trust me on this. It is horrible, horrible thing to use. And also the buttons on their touchpad are actually incorporated in the touchpad. So if you're touching two spots at once, the mouse pad either jumps or doesn't move.
There is one thing to be said about the Dell models, though, which is that for those who are interested in playing a little bit, if you feel like playing, there is a term that we use in the tech world called hackintoshing, which is where you basically put a Mac operating system onto a non-Mac machine.
Yeah.
The Dell Mini 10
can
actually have the Mac OS 10 installed onto it with no hacks.
Yeah, but just a forethought for that, it runs like a dog.
It runs like a dog, and apparently the Wi-Fi card doesn't work. But,
exactly.
But for those who want to tinker, that's the machine. They actually say the two machines, one's a model that's not available here, it's only available in the States, which I can't remember what it's called, and the Mini 10 are like the two prime netbooks.
Absolutely.
For the Hackintosh users out there.
All right, well look, the other companies, I have to back mine up with this. The HP I don't like because they're trying to do the style of keyboard that you get on the Mac, and with a 10-inch keyboard, that just doesn't work. Your keyboard, literally, your keys are almost smaller than my fingers, and that's just a terrible, terrible design feature. And also, they use the same thing of the touchpad being one with the actual thing. It's just stop it, please. It's a terrible design feature. It doesn't work very well. And to be honest, I have had a lot of them back, so that's the reason I don't like the HP, and the reason I don't like the Acer is because they're exactly the same as the fucking laptop with the terrible keyboard.
Language!
And the Mini Note, I thought we didn't have an explicit tag, though, wasn't that the thing?
We don't have an explicit tag. We don't have a clean tag either. We just have no tag.
Yeah, well, okay, so I lied about not being offensive to it. But the other thing that I have to say about those particular models that I really, really hate is the fact that the return rate is incredibly high. They are the cheapest netbook on the market, and there is a reason.
I just want to say why I chose a second Asus as being the last one. Mainly because we sell too many of these. Reason being that It's under $400 to buy this particular model.
Very nice price.
And it has a 6-cell battery.
Exactly, which means that you actually get a decent battery out of the actual thing, and you actually get about five hours.
Yeah,
5 hours, which is awesome. But anyway, guys, that's basically it, and we should probably wrap up.
We got to wrap up because we've actually got a movie to get to tonight, so we're gonna wrap this up. What we might do is we might continue this conversation in a couple of weeks, and what we'll do is we'll introduce the desktops into this and see if we can actually make sense out of what people really need on their desktops. If you have any questions about any of this or you want some advice, send it to GeekTech at geekactually.com, or you can send us a voicemail, 02 Sydney number 02-8011-3166. We would gladly take any questions that you have. I'm sure these guys would love to answer questions.
At the end of the day, this is basically what we're here for. We're here to explain tech to you. So if you guys have questions, please ring in.
And the show being an hour long is really just an overview. So if you've got any specific questions you want answered, send them in. We will definitely have a look at those. We are going to keep the housekeeping section very short today because we don't have a lot of time. Just a quick couple of shout-outs to some of our friends out there, Movie Fan House and the Real Junkies podcast are both really good podcasts to listen to. You can find them both on iTunes or at their respective websites at moviefanhouse.com or weekendronin.com. We also want to have a shout out to some of our gaming site friends for the gamer geeks out there. Gameprawn.com is a really good forum for finding out all the latest information, and they are really also spearheading a lot of this towards the R rating campaign, which we harp on a lot. I think we really need to get out of here at this point. You can fan us at facebook.com/geekactually. We post up a lot of our show information on that site, so we find out where we are. Guys, where can people find out more about you guys?
I think on the platform's fan page, or just search for me, Joshua Philpott, on Facebook. Either of those two will get in contact with me. And
Just type my name in Facebook.
Shane Gregory. And don't forget our other two podcasts. We do have Geek Actually going out on Saturdays, which is our dedicated movie show. It's a kind of, Josh and I were talking about it, really, it's kind of the Weekend Geek. Think about it that way. As I say, we do throw in a little bit of tech here and there and so forth. And we also have Platforms on Monday nights, which is our dedicated gaming show, which Josh and Dave host. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of fun. What's coming up on this week on Platforms?
This week has actually changed. For anyone that knows us, we were originally going to do Final Fantasy. Listen, we just decided we've been too heavy for the last few weeks. We tried to be Bad Company was a fun review, but we just didn't want to hit something as heavily as we did with Heavy Rain. It's not because we're worried about it in any way. It's just because I don't really want to put 60 hours into a game that is just going to come across wrong. Fans will be fans. They'll like it if they like it, and they won't if they won't. We've decided to go with Metro 2033 instead.
Good
which
stuff.
We will be doing this week. Look, I'm looking forward to it because I think it's going to be one of those reviews that will be interesting because a lot of people don't even know about it.
Psydog says that you hated Final Fantasy 13 and you don't want to be all ragey.
I just don't want to be unfairly. I just don't want to be unfairly ragey, and it's difficult to deal with it when you're dealing with a different form of media. This is not gaming.
That's fair enough.
As far as I'm
and
concerned.
And this week on Geek Actually, we're doing the new Matt Damon film
Green Zone,
which is what we're going to go rush off to see right now. So we're going to get ourselves out of here. Just remember that we're the geeks, so you don't have to be. And please send in that information. We would love to hear from you. And we'll talk to you all next week.
Absolutely.
Bye.
Later.